That video is appropriate for the scene this weekend. Hello, this is William Fink. This is the Christogenia Euro Forum. It is Thursday, June 16th, 2011. I think that says 16th. I'm going blind in my middle age. Well, I just got in from the road. I don't expect a huge turnout today because there's problems with the chat server. A lot of people took an upgrade that arrived in a very untimely fashion. Every once in a while with this TeamSpeak software, that they issue an upgrade that requires an upgrade of both the server and the client. I left town for Virginia on June 9th, and they issued such an upgrade. So if you upgrade your client, I haven't yet upgraded the server, and your software won't work with the server until I upgrade it or until you revert. And I sent out a mailing on June 10th, which was as soon as I was aware of the situation, and it's evident that a lot of people who come here to the Christogenia chat obviously aren't on the Christogenia mailing list, which is just, I don't know. I would think that the people that care one whit for what I would have to say would be on the mailing list first, and everything else is secondary, but that's often not the case. Some people find the forum, they don't find the mailing list. Some people find the chat, they've never been to the forum, and so on and so forth. That there's a mailing list, there's a chat room, that there's a chat room on a website that's separate that I put up for a different reason, and there's the Christogenia forum, and maybe that's just too big a world. I don't know. I can't figure it out. But that's okay. I've been Well, this is
amusing because it's nothing new to me, right?
I've been under assault by some people who have very Pharisaical attitudes concerning the children of Israel and the law of God. It's absolutely incredible to me that a man could be a sinner all of his life and find Christian identity, and after X number of years, whether it be 20, 30, or 40, realize the importance of our obedience or our desire for obedience to the law of God, because as all the apostles attest, none of us are ever going to be perfectly obedient. And as soon as they realize the importance of our obedience to the laws of God, they want to become Pharisees. They want to rule over their brethren with the law. These are the people that Paul of Tarsus called Judaizers. These are the people whom John was addressing when he said that he who is out sin is a liar, or makes God a liar. These are the people James was addressing when he said that he who would keep the whole law and fail in one point is guilty of all. None of us, as Christians who actually love their brethren, have a right to rule over their brethren. Even Paul told the Corinthians that he would not rule over their faith. Period. Yes, we put away unrepentant wrongdoers from our midst. But on the other hand, when our brother has a wife, we do not belong in his bedroom. Who are we to judge our brother? Aren't they the words of the apostles? If a man has a wife, whether he has a conjugal relationship with her or not, is really none of our damned business. As long as you know that woman, as long as you personally know that woman, that there's no claim against her by another man to be her wife, then you should keep your nose out of your brother's business. His relationship with God is his own. These people criticize me for one thing, and one thing only. And they've called me a hireling and made all kinds of slander for one thing only. Even though we agree on the importance of virginity outside of marital relationships, even though we agree on the meanings of adultery and fornication and marriage and what marriage is, we disagree on one point. Should a man have conjugal relations with a woman that he married outside of the law in his ignorance, began a relationship with, and then learned the truth? And I would say that, yes, that man has committed himself and is committed to that woman and should stay in that relationship. The Pharisees would say that that man must immediately separate himself from that woman and not have sex with her again. On Monday, and I'll probably get into it today, I don't think I'm going to be able to avoid it, but on Monday I will prove beyond all doubt that my position is the biblical position. And then if the Pharisees want to judge me, they will also have to judge Yahweh our God in like manner. Because my position on this particular situation is the same position which Yahweh our God has. And I will prove it. It's very easy to do right from the scripture in a very straightforward manner. So Jeff Westover and Paul Kersey should probably be ashamed of themselves once I do that. aside from that, Maui Patricia,
I shouldn't even call her that. It's disgusting. It's Patricia Aiken continues to slander me, and that's okay. I got wide shoulders. I could take it. But the scripture says that a woman should not speak in the assembly or be a teacher of men, and a woman should especially not be allowed to criticize men in the assembly of God openly, and of course without proof. And Dan Kersey has allowed Patricia to do that, and on his program, and he claims that he should grant everybody freedom of speech on his program. Here's a man that wants to be a Pharisee and wants to quote the words of Paul of Tarsus in a Pharisaical manner to judge his brother. And then he turns around and he's a hypocrite when it comes to what Paul said about women and speaking in the assembly of Yahweh. So, Dan, you should take note of that and perhaps go and read those words of Paul again. And think about that the next time you allow a slanderer on your program. And that's all I say about that. I have never said, to date, I have never said anything negative that I could remember in public about Patricia Aiken. And she has already said in public that I have seasonal affective disorder, and now I'm a psychopath, and Kristen has Alzheimer's, and all kinds of cruel and ridiculous and slanderous charges. But Patricia bared her ass, yes, that's what I'll say, that's how I'll put it, on the June 2nd program with Dan Kersey when she said of me that I would rather be king of a small village than be second in command of Rome. That's what she said. I have it on tape. And first I would respond, why would I want to be king of anything? I don't want to be a king. No, Israelite should seek to be a king. Yahshua Christ is our king, period. And second, why would I want to be second in command of Rome? Rome fell due to race mixing. So will Eli James' ministry fall due to race mixing? Because Eli is a promoter of the idea that we should bring the gospel to the non-Adamic peoples. And the inevitable result of that, all throughout history, has always been race mixing. There's no way around it. Eli James's view of salvation is no different than Imperial Rome. It's no different than Imperial Britain. It's no different than the Imperial Catholic Church. And it's failed time and time again. Eli would claim that the Shekinah glory will prevent our women from race mixing. He said that on a program back in January, which is absolutely ridiculous, because if it didn't keep one Eve from being seduced, it sure as hell isn't going to keep a million Eves or 10 million Eves from being seduced. So Patricia, you're right. I would never want to be second in command of Rome. I would never want anything to do to Rome. With Rome? Rome fell due to race mixing. So you revealed your attitude to a great extent in that statement, and basically put your imprimatur on modeling a Christian identity in the after the fashion of Rome, which is something that I would not have anything to do with. I will stick with my small village. However, I do not want to be its king. That's Yahshua Christ's position. Okay. I don't, because of the problems with King Speak, I really don't expect a huge turnout here today. If it happens, it happens. If anybody wants to speak, I'm going to unmute some of the Europeans. If anybody else wants to speak, please speak up, and Matt or I will unmute your microphone. Thank you, Matt, for being here. Hello, Taya. Hello, Danny.
Hello.
Hi there.
How are we doing today?
Doing well. I'm doing well.
Yeah.
What's going on? Aside from the usual division and strife in Christian identity.
Well, it's a beautiful sunny day over here. It's been a sunny day, so that's great.
Good. Yeah, wonderful. It's nice to hear, too. I'm looking forward to at least 6 miles with Samson as soon as I can close this program. But that's okay. I'm not going to be in a rush. I'd rather walk in the evening when it's a little cooler.
I bet he's missed you.
Oh, yeah. He went crazy yesterday. I couldn't get out of the car for 10 minutes after I got home.
Well, at least you didn't soak.
Somebody yeah, I opened the car door and Samson was in my lap.
Oh, well, you're lucky yeah. Rewarding with a long walk.
Yeah, he has it coming today. I'll do at least 6-7 miles with him.
Jeez. Well, you both need it, I'm sure.
Yeah, I definitely need it. Every time I go to Bob's house in Pennsylvania, I think I gain 4 pounds. That's okay. Nah, I'm just kidding. That's okay.
7 miles, I think I'd have to take the bicycle on that one.
Okay. I mean, 7 miles really isn't that far, right? I don't think so. It's not even 90 minutes usually.
Wow. Do you get a lot of traffic on that road there? On your main road there?
No, there's very little traffic. If you're talking to somebody who grew up a mile outside of New York City, right?
So
traffic is a relative thing.
I suppose you filter it out, the sound of it and all that.
Oh, I don't miss anything. It's up here, it's in the mountains, it's the sound of music, right? You walk and all you hear is the birds most of the time.
Oh, that's lovely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, so that's nice. Dogs barking in the distance. All the dogs greet me as I walk down the road. I know where all the dogs live in a 10-mile radius, probably.
Oh, that's great.
Well, they all start barking when you're about an eighth of a mile from their homes, and they bark until you're an eighth of a mile past them. beagles and Labradors and Shepherds and all kinds of dogs up here. Yeah, most people have a dog up here, but yeah, you kind of know every one of them. If you walk the same route long enough.
I think it's a good burger alarm.
Well, yes, they are. Absolutely.
Geese are good for burglars also.
Yeah, but I've never seen an attack goose.
Yeah, my dad had some geese up at his place in Northern California, and nothing could move without those geese honking. They drove them nuts.
They get defensive, but not until you step into their pen.
Oh.
I have experience with that too. My aunt used to raise geese. Geese are I don't know. I never saw the clarification on it because I haven't really eaten them. But geese, I think, are unclean, right? Web feet or something like that.
I think they are.
Yeah.
I don't eat them.
You mean you don't have your Christmas goose? Or your Easter ham?
Dorcas, hello. How are we doing? She's muted. I'm going to unmute her.
We must ask how she is.
Hello, Betty.
There's me.
Well, I don't know if she can hear us or not, right? I mean, maybe she can't.
I know she was having problems with her computer, and she was hoping that this, you know, that they'd been resolved.
Well, I'm hoping on Saturday morning to make that server upgrade. I can't promise it, but that's my goal.
Upgrade, Bill?
Well, I will know on Saturday when I upgrade the server, if we have to upgrade the client. I assume, as in the past, that this client will work with the new server, even though the new client won't work with the old server. But time will tell. I won't know until I upgrade the server.
Right. Because with these things, I always take the view that if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So I'd rather stay with the old because I know it works.
Well, right.
You let us know.
Well, right now I'm recording on the Windows computer again, hoping that works. But I actually did get to test it this afternoon and was able to make a recording. So it's like I've lost three programs. I lost two open forums and a I lost an open forum and a Euro forum and did a 45-minute replacement for the open forum monologue that I lost, and I lost that because of technical difficulties with the new TeamSpeak client crashing when I attempt to record in Linux, and it's horrible. And I've yet to have the opportunity to complain to the software developers about that, but I will. It looks like Dorcas went back out, so she may not be joining us today, and maybe she's having trouble. So, Danny, I see you're really in up in a dither about this Charles Giuliani.
Yeah, the way he carries on, mocking Yahweh and stuff like that. I remember there was a man in the Bible, a giant in the Bible named Goliath that mocked God. He ended up getting a stone in his head and his head cut off. I don't know if I'd want to be doing that.
Well, I really got under his skin on that program, and he couldn't forget about me for I don't know how long.
I know. A lot of times I get home about maybe 1:30 or whatever, and I catch the tail end of his show there. And ever since he went on, I've always heard your name come up. So,
well,
I hope he invites you back on. That'd be great.
If he invites me back on, it's only going to be with ground rules laid, right?
That
he doesn't get a chance, that he doesn't take callers, and that I get a chance to respond to every single thing he says.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. My feeling, like I said before, is I think he could be Jewish. It's the way he carries on, and he just goes ballistic and yelling. It reminds me of that. Who's that guy on the West Coast there? Michael Savage or Michael Wiener or whatever his name is, Savage.
Right, the liar. He's another liar.
And just goes on and on and on about the Bible. Picking, he's talking about circumcision and how how could God say in one part that you're not supposed to mutilate your body, but then you know they got. You have to, all males have to be circumcised, and just, what kind of God is that? You know, he's an idiot. Just going on and on like this.
He doesn't understand it. It's a sign that God is sovereign, and if we want his blessing, we have to do his will. He doesn't understand that. He does not understand the sovereignty of the God, of God, and the need for us to recognize his sovereignty and comply with his wishes, no matter what they are.
Right.
He doesn't understand that this body is temporal, and that our spiritual life and spiritual body is eternal. He doesn't understand that. He assigns far too much value to this life in his theological thought.
Yes. And also, now I have... Honestly, I'll be honest. I have never delved into the medical or health reasons of circumcision, other than it was supposed to have been, from what I understand, it's supposed to be cleaner and all that. I don't like to get into that on this show here. We can talk about it man to man about it, you know, but ladies around. But it's still... He, you know, he brings up this information. I don't know where he gets it, medical information about how it does psychological damage to boys and everything like that. I mean, now I know why I act the way I do, because, you know, just crazy stuff. But he doesn't seem like a person that actually digs in and studies on anything. He just takes... You know, the word of mouth right there, and then that's it. Something to cover his tracks and, you know, I mean, he's still calling Yahweh a Jew, Jesus a Jew, and you've already told him and explained that to him. Christ wasn't a Jew, but he still just keeps on.
And he agreed with it all. He agreed with every word of it. He didn't. And anything I said about the Bible and history, he did not disagree with my illustration of what those books said, and he didn't disagree with any of the history.
Uh-huh. He seemed like he didn't jump on you until about the second or last part of the show, and then...
I wish I could have recorded the between segment banter, right? Because we had a lot of discussions while the advertisements were running. I realized later that when we were having the discussions when the advertisements were running, that he basically learned during those discussions where he couldn't go with me, right?
Right.
And I think that he realized that he had no recourse but to waste time by taking callers and to go on a rant.
Mm-hmm.
Because he couldn't trip me up, he had no other recourse. There was no way he could go with me. There was no way he could go with me.
So you guys were actually going back and forth on the commercials then?
Yeah, right. I don't mm-hmm. stop if I could run my mouth. Not now. We were going back and forth, and he'd ask me questions during the commercials, and I would answer them. Well, we had a lot of between-segment banter that I wish I could have recorded, too.
Yeah. I'm just surprised at this guy. He's supposed to know Greek. You know, he didn't want to learn Hebrew, and that was another thing, you know. He decided he didn't want to learn Hebrew, but then he ended up learning Greek. Now, I don't know about you people, but I never came to the road, crossroads, where I want to learn Hebrew or Greek. I mean, I know a lot of Jewish kids that probably would do something like that.
Does he really know Greek to the point that he's actually read the New Testament Greek text?
I
doubt it. Or did he take a couple of basic Greek courses in the seminary?
I don't know. You would have to grill him. you know more about Greek.
Well, right. But most of the people I know that have admitted being in Bible school or seminary, they would... Most of them would not profess to knowing Greek, that they would simply admit to taking a couple of courses in Greek and doing the exercises provided, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's one thing to take the courses in Greek. I mean, I took a course in Latin when I was in high school. I took Latin for a year.
Mm-hmm.
I took Spanish for 2 years. But none of that included reading any of the original literature beyond a couple of paragraphs. Yeah, you know, when I took Latin, you get a paragraph written in Latin. It was pretty simple. It may have been from a poet or from a from one of the rhetoricians, right? From one of the orators, and that was about it. So you read a paragraph of Tacitus, and you did your best to translate it, and you got a 70 or an 80 or a 90, and you forgot it. Yeah, you know, a week later, it didn't matter to you.
Right.
That's the way I learned Latin and Spanish, and I really didn't. I for some reason, I remember a lot more Spanish than I remember Latin, you know, probably because I took it for 2 years. But
right.
I only went to high school for 2 years, so. And that was it for my language requirement anyway. I probably wouldn't have taken another language after that if I had stayed in high school.
Right,
and I wouldn't have taken another language if I went to college, unless I went into a liberal arts course, right? In the field that required it. So, most people in Bible college, I think, would take a Hebrew course and a Greek course, or maybe even a couple of each, but they're not going to read beyond the requirements of the course.
Right, yeah. You only did just enough of that.
Well, right. I've read every Greek word in the New Testament at least half a dozen times. And also, I haven't read the classics in Greek, but I've read a lot of passages. I've studied the Greek to a lot of passages of Diodorus Siculus and Strabo and the tragic poets. Every time I needed to make sure that something was saying what the translator said, right? Said that it said. So a lot of things that were important to me, I did study those passages, and I've read not the entire Septuagint in Greek, but quite a bit of it. And all that is well beyond. I mean, I'm nothing special, believe me. And over the last 2 years, my Greek skills had probably waned a little. I mean, I could still explain the grammar and all the passages and the prepositions and the cases and the tenses of verbs, don't get me wrong. But I have to look up words more often now than I did 2 years ago because my Greek reading has waned with everything else that I'm doing, right? That's just the way it is.
Yeah, you don't use it, you lose it.
Well, yeah, but with Greek, I think what you lose is you just lose the vocabulary and you have to use the lexicon a little more often, right?
Right.
But I'm not going to lose my ability to separate the parts of speech and identify the words, right? That's not going to happen.
Well, a guy is supposed to be his caliber of intelligence and everything. I would have thought that he done that. He could read and decipher the mistranslations.
Well, right, but has he actually read the text? And that's a big difference, right? And that's what I'm trying to say. Sure, you could learn all the parts of speech, but have you read the text? You know, and I would think that if he was studying to be a theologian in a seminary or in a Bible college or whatever the Catholic equivalent of that is, and that is what he claims to have done, I would think that he may have learned the basic rudiments of Greek, but probably hasn't read the entire text and read it multiple times in order to absorb what it's saying. That's a different story. That's what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'll just have been told what to believe in the seminary, just like everybody else. Because whenever he brought up a scripture text for you to respond to, whenever you did, he then didn't dispute that or discuss it in any depth. He simply brought up another, hoping to cause you to fail to explain that one. And then when you explained that, he went on to the next and to the next and to the next. He never once came back with an in-depth appreciation of that scripture.
Well, Judas, and that's the observation I had. He did that until he got mad.
Yeah. And he just starts blaming him. How can you follow a God like that who murders little children?
Which is where he wanted to go all along.
Right.
You know, that's what he was leading to, and that's why I think his mind was totally closed.
Right, but I think his first... His first strategy was to trip me up, and he couldn't do it, so he was forced into his nuclear option.
Yes, he was.
I don't know. I'll be honest. I never heard anybody like that before. I mean, I've seen some comedians that were out there in Los Angeles years back that would mock Christ, Yeshua, and everything, but. Like this one in particular, he was pretty raunchy, you know, but they scraped him out of a radiator. They scraped his car out of a radiator of a truck, you know. And so I just don't, you mocking Yahweh like that, that's a death wish.
But I find that I wouldn't be able to go to his show and listen to it. It hurts me. It disturbs me and it hurts me. And I don't want to take any of that on board because I don't need it.
Yeah. And all my years of...
That's my female, you know.
Right,
I just can't do it.
I don't know. I just never actually... Other than a Jew now, I mean, I've heard Jews doing it, and that's, you know, you expect that from them, which you don't waste your time. But I just feel like this guy's getting away with this, and he shouldn't, you know, and there's nobody that calls in, and even on the, you get in the chat room and everything, and there's nobody that challenges him, but Bill was the only one that got any time to go on and discuss anything with him. So,
God is not going to get away with it.
Huh?
God is not mocked. He's not going to get away with it forever.
No, not. But I just want to know what his racial background is. I just will not. I don't want to waste my time. I'd like to talk to him myself. And I've been trying to. I'm going to see if I can get home earlier tomorrow and get a chance to get in, because I believe he does take phone calls.
Well, he's from the same town in Massachusetts where my mother grew up. My mother is Anglo-English, but Anglo-Scot, actually. She's 1/4 Scottish and 3/4 English. My mother had explained to me long ago that a lot of Italians had moved into that town from Boston. They know that they had spread out into the suburbs, and that's one of the towns that they moved into. It's a small world, right? He actually happens to be in a town where my mother grew up, and it's about 45 minutes, I think, if I had to guess, outside of Boston. And Boston has a very heavy Italian community, and I'm not, you know, I've met Italians from Boston who I thought to be Sicilian, and I've met Italians from Boston who I thought might be pretty safely white. That's the way it is. Yeah, you know, Italy is like Spain is a complex situation. You just can't write them all off, and you have to understand that some of them are definitely mixed. But by their fruits you know them, and that's why we're told that. And that's we all like to take Italy and Spain and Greece and Portugal as examples. But there's also mixed people in Germany and Ireland and Britain it's just Italy, Spain, Greece, and Portugal, and France suffered the mixing under the Moors and the Muslims to a much greater extent.
Yes,
Italia, yes.
Jews were all behind that too.
Well, yes, and there was a much greater extent of converso Jews in Sicily and Italy and Spain. And Portugal, but you know, there are also converso Jews in England, and a lot of people miss that. There were Jews in the time of the expulsion from Britain that converted to avoid expulsion. And that's a fact of history.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the English aren't without that. They're crypto Jews. And we can't imagine that they are.
Uh-huh. By their countenance you shall know them. And right there, it's a physical thing. People say, oh, no, the Jews are just religious. Oh, it's a physical. Right there makes it a racial thing. Like Christ said, that, you know, by their countenance you shall know them.
Oh. Hello, Cammy. Well, right. When I encounter somebody who's Italian, I mean the Sicilians, the real Arabs are very easy to spot, right? I mean, usually as a rule, and the rest have to be treated like you would treat a German or an Englishman, and by their fruits you shall know them. They're no different than we are. I don't think that, the preponderance of them are brunettes, but that doesn't mean that they're mixed, because there are brunettes in Germany.
Well, I've been to Spain a couple times, and I've seen the mixed Spanish, but the Spanish, to me, they look. I thought they were Swedes, Norwegians, very Nordic, tall Nordic. And this was up in the northern part, up by Costa Brava there. So,
but I met white Irishmen with brown hair and brown eyes, and white Scandinavians with brown hair and brown eyes.
Yes.
Well, we don't all have blonde hair and blue eyes.
Mm.
We don't all have that pink Irish skin.
No. Ruddy. Yep. I know who my sheep are, and they follow me. So Christ said, and he's right.
I said that his dad has brown, dark hair and brown eyes, and in Iceland, to me, that would make one of his ancestors a baby seal. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. Don't get upset. Yeah, right. When you look at a Norseman with brown hair and brown eyes, what are they mixed with? No, they're not mixed. We have brown hair and brown eyes. I mean, the oldest
brown hair and brown eyes. Yeah.
The oldest Greco-Roman art shows people with brown hair and brown eyes, and it shows people with blonde hair and blue eyes.
Yeah.
And we can't assume that any of them are mixed. The apostles didn't accept them, you know, treat them as if they were.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
What we have, a variety in our race that's unique to our race.
Yes. Oh, my little visitor keeps popping in here. I wasn't supposed to babysit tonight, but...
Well, that's okay. It's a gift.
It just keeps popping in.
Hello, Otilia. It's nice to see you.
Talking about España.
Yeah, we were just talking about Spain. You missed it. It's okay. We weren't saying anything too bad.
It's nice and warm there.
I'm sure it is.
Ice is trying to start some trouble here.
Yeah, well, she's not even Spanish, so.
Yeah.
I guess Betty was having a hard time. Maybe she couldn't hear anything. Somebody told me that with that new, if you upgrade TeamSpeak, it'll connect, but you won't be able to hear anything.
I know. Yeah.
I don't know, because I'm not trying to upgrade, right? I'm just not doing it.
No, I have to even upgrade it from the previous one. And I reckon if something works, leave it alone.
Well, right. As long as it works, you're probably better off leaving it alone.
Well, I was the dumb one, and I didn't catch that email by Bill soon enough. It was 125 emails back, but
oh dear.
So what did you do? Did you have to reinstall?
I had to do everything.
Oh.
Bill said, oh, I sent out that email, and I, you know, I get so many emails, and it goes past so far. I should go all the way back to my last email, but a lot of times I don't. I figure it's, you know, it'd be in the first 50 or whatever, but sometimes it goes like that. We all get, sometimes you get emails, and sometimes you don't. So, but anyway, it was there, and I got it figured out. I figured it out pretty quick. It's pretty easy, so. And if I can do it, nobody, anybody else can do it, so.
Yeah, I know Dorcas intended to be here this evening, but obviously she hasn't got her computer sorted out.
Mm-hmm. Well, not to change the subject, but I see they're having a lot of trouble in Greece again.
Well, the Greeks are not buying into all this, are they?
Mm.
Why should they?
Yeah, it's they want to, you know, the IMF, they want to do another bailout and everything. And,
yeah, and apparently I read yesterday that we're doubling our contribution to the IMF. We're adding another $9 billion to what we already give, which is something like $12 billion. To the IMF, and that's in addition to all the bailouts that we're allegedly footing the bill for.
Yeah, so it's coming out of my pocket, too.
It's ludicrous, isn't it?
It's unbelievable.
When you think we could just write, just put a line through everything that we owe.
Yeah. I think, Judith, it's about time you stepped up for Prime Minister. I'll vote for you. Well, I'll campaign for you. I don't know if I can vote for you. I'm still an American citizen, but I just know that you get on a train and go on the train is the best way to campaign. So.
Well, it's so small here, isn't it?
Yeah. But I don't. But it gets frustrating, but you have to sit back and watch it.
Yeah, that's the hard thing.
Really, Try to spread the word. Yep, that's it.
Yeah.
Well, Satan wouldn't have any power over us if we didn't give it to him.
Right.
That's right.
That's pretty plain.
I'll try not to buy into it.
Yeah, it's all going to fail anyway.
Well, how many people could you convince not to take that loan out if they had a desire to buy a new car? How could you convince them to save the money? I mean, it's easier with Europeans, but with Americans, it's impossible. That's the mentality.
Mm-hmm.
That's the impression I have, at least. I read a Wall Street Journal article probably about 7 or 8 years ago, and the article was a front page article, and the article expressed dismay and disappointment that the German people didn't buy anything on credit. That when they saved their money and wanted something, that they would save their money and go buy it.
Yeah.
They couldn't understand why Germans generally did not buy on credit. I hope the Germans stay that way. But I'm sure that the Jews will eventually get an edge in their media in creating a mentality of credit and instantaneous personal fulfillment in Germany also. But it's yeah, they were really dismayed about that. Why would anybody save up money to buy something if they could just go get a piece of plastic that'll let them pay all the rents and go into debt as much as they want and have everything that they think they need and really don't.
Sounds right into the user system.
Yeah, right. And that's where they want everybody. And that Wall Street Journal article, I think I saved it. It might be in my notes. I remember wanting to save it, but I don't know. I got two crates of notes sitting here yet that I haven't even been through. And it's thousands of pages, right? Well, I'm sorry, four crates of notes. The other two are behind the desk. Yeah, you know when they're going to get done.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it's immaterial. The article is good to see that mentality, that Jewish Wall Street banker mentality, that everybody has to be in debt to them, and they're not happy unless that's the case.
Right.
Yeah, there was actually a sign that's outside of the Greek Parliament that they had the Prime Minister George Papandreou that he was Goldman Sachs Employee of the Year for the credit swaps where they screwed him over.
Well, my program this Sunday with Sword Brethren, what I had planned anyway, is to discuss Harry Dexter White and his role in the creation of the IMF and the World Bank while he was a communist spy. The man was a communist in the Roosevelt administration, and he helped form the IMF and the World Bank. The IMF and the World Bank were formed by a communist, just like the United Nations was formed, and to a great extent, its founding documents were written to a great extent by the communist Alger Hiss. These men have long been exposed as communists, and we still accept the institutions that they formed. And that beyond all, everything else, I mean, you could look at the United States internal policy and compare it to the Communist Manifesto and see that we're a communist nation. But the fact that we have fully accepted our subservience to these world organizations that were formed by communists, it's incredible that anybody doesn't see that the communist New World Order, it has been here. It's been here for a long time. The horse is long out of the barn. We are all basically Marxist nations. And the real shame about that is that your friend Charles Giuliani, right? Your friend, not mine. he did a good segment. I mean, I didn't listen to the whole thing. I listened to about the first third of it, and it sounded like it was going to be a pretty good segment. where he sat there and quoted from a lot of Karl Marx's own early writings and proved that Karl Marx was a Talmudic Satanist.
Mm-hmm.
And basically admitted it, that he was a Satanist. He wasn't an atheist. He was a Satanist. And Giuliani's segment, you know, Giuliani took a lot of Marx's early writings and elucidated that. So I just listened to that. Well, there's no doubt that Karl Marx was a Satanist, but we could even get it from sources like that, right? And it's pretty much, and it's not an open secret, but it's pretty much easily accessible information, and people don't see it. That all these people that have followed Marx have basically followed a Satanist. And Brian and I demonstrated a long time ago on the Mein Kampf project, you know, on his Sword Brethren's Come Out of Her, that on those podcasts that that Marx was a shill for people that for the Jesuits and the people that basically ordered him to write the Communist Manifesto and told them what to write, right? I mean, we've seen that in the pages of Nesta Webster, and that's almost precisely what happened in 1848.
Mm-hmm.
So the world is definitely under, we're definitely under communism, and we're definitely under the Talmudic, satanic, Satanist Jews. There should be no doubt.
Interest. There was a pamphlet that what's his name from that church over in Arizona? I can't remember his name now. He's passed away. But he had a little pamphlet that he wrote about the debt money system. Explaining about how debt, Emery, it was Pastor Emery, and that was a good little pamphlet. It explained all about the economics and stuff and about interest.
What was that, the billions for the bankers?
Billions for the bankers, right.
Yeah, that's on the Santa Messenger site somewhere.
Yep, very good. This guy I put up there, Bob Chapman, he comes up with some pretty good investment information in the world situation, you know, as far as the money-wise. It's interesting, I think. He's talking about this problems with Greece. He said it's going to start with Greece, Spain, and the Republic of Ireland, and sure enough, it started. So it's supposed to all fall like dominoes.
Well, it's a Ponzi scheme, right? It's a pyramid scheme. It has to fall. It has to come to the point where it caves in on itself. There's no doubt. The question is only when. And of course, only Yahweh knows the day. Well, it has to get to the point where the debt can't possibly be paid. The interest can't possibly be serviced. But when that happens, it'll cause a chain reaction, and it'll collapse in on itself.
Right.
And then people will start to wake the hell up.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I don't think the people move that much until the money, you start hitting them in the pocketbook. And then it starts to affect them. Everything is, like I said before, you know, everything is normal. You go down, you can get your six-pack of beer, watch your sports on TV, food, you know, the marketplace is full of food. Go get gas and go wherever you want. So.
Yeah, gas is killing me. I just did a trip. I probably put about 1,100 miles on my car, and I hate to see the bank statement at the end of the month. But I had to fill up
fuel. How much is fuel in? Like?
Well, I'd say it averaged about $3.70 a gallon.
Ooh. Oh, that's
I know that's cheap to you, Judas. I know that's cheap to you, but it's expensive to me.
Well, I think it's nearer £6 a gallon over here.
Yes, I was just going to get that. Thank you.
Yeah, so that's more than, well over double what we're paying.
Right.
And that's what they want to do with it here. That they do want us to get there, right? That they do want at least $5 a gallon gas here, but they're slowly edging it up and pulling it back a little and edging it up. They're making the people think that it's a natural process somehow that's causing the price to rise, right?
I know here it costs me about £65-70 to fill my car, and I don't have a big car.
Right.
So you think very carefully about how you use the vehicle.
You get the old bicycle off, huh, Judith?
You do.
Go around town like that.
Well, it's costing me about not quite $50 from an empty tank, or I never let it get completely empty, right?
No.
But it's a 16-gallon tank, and it's cost me close to $50 a few times.
Cammy and just ride our horses around and stuff. Go by horseback.
Infinitely preferable.
Mm-hmm. It looks more fun.
Isn't a diesel cheaper over there?
Oh, diesel's expensive. What is it about? Is it 160, I think?
It's more expensive than the petrol, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it's, a 1 pound, 1 pound, 58, 1 pound 58 a liter. And there's about 3 liters in a gallon. So.
No, it's near a four, isn't it?
It's
3.8 about.
Yeah, let's see, I believe it's 158. Yeah, it's almost, I got $4.74, but it's expensive. It's more expensive. I think it's about 3 pence in my town here. It's about 3 tenths or pence more than gasoline or petrol. So, let me shut the door. So. If anything needs to be gotten in town, get the bicycle out.
Yeah, it's kind of cheaper here because we have our own oil reserves.
So do we, but it doesn't stop, you know, the government milking us. Most of what we pay in petrol, for the petrol, is a government tax.
Mm-hmm.
It's VAT and the levy on the fuel. I think the actual cost is something like 48 pence less. The rest goes to the government one way. And it's always a percentage, so, you know, the more it costs, the better the government likes it.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to sound real stupid and ask how many pence are in a pound.
Well, 100.
100 pence in a pound? How many pence in a shilling?
We don't have shillings anymore.
We don't have shillings
anymore.
There are no more shillings?
No, but it would have been about 5 pence.
It would have been about 5 pence.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill, has there been any...
You see, we had we had 240 pennies in a pound at one time. But then we went over to the metric. And before metrication, it was 12 pence in a shilling.
Oh, so the pound, the value of a pound was actually deflated then, or inflated?
Well, it's a long time ago. It was
deflated to 100 pence. Okay.
Yeah. 1 penny became 2.40 pence.
Oh, a penny became 2.4 pence instead of a pound becoming. Yeah, because that would have really deflated the value of the pound.
Yeah. But as with any of these things, people take advantage, and there was tremendous price increases, which there was a great rise in inflation due to it, as you can imagine.
Well, I'm sure, because people would have been trying to get their hands on all the pennies they could, right?
Yeah.
Save your pennies.
And this was, we didn't know it at the time, but this was one of the agreements upon us going into the European Union, that we would lose our coinage. We would have to go metric. And that the last thing to go metric will be our pints of milk and pints of beer and miles. We're still in miles on the road. And we're still with pints of beer and pints of milk.
Yeah, you know, when I was a kid in the 70s, there was a push to make road signs in both kilometers and miles, but they've kind of lost that. That they just kind of stopped doing it.
Well, we fought very hard against it, and now I think we're entirely in miles. But according to the European Union, we only have a temporary derogation, as they call it, because ultimately they say that we will have to fall into line with all the other many countries in the European Union, which are in kilometres. Well, which is metric, anyway.
You go over the border, and it's in kilometres. As soon as you go over the border in the Republic.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
I hate that.
But, of course, the idea is to keep the British people from realising to what extent they've been absorbed, or their sovereignty has been lost and they've been absorbed into the European Union. Many people still think it's still something which is going to happen. And as long as they're able to drink their pint of beer as a pint rather than half a litre or whatever, and as long as they're not looking at kilometres when they're driving the car,
then they think they're free and independent.
Yeah.
So they start messing with the pints of beer, and that's it, especially over here.
Then people will wake up.
You can go ahead and raise the gas as much as you want and the money on the gas on the cigarettes. Don't mess with the pint.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I remember the first time I brought my wife to Canada years ago. This is 1988, and we were in Montreal. And I pulled into a gas station, and she said, "Well, look, gas is only 65 cents here." And I told her, I said, "That's a liter." And she's like, "So it's only 65 cents." And I'm like, "Do you know what a liter is? Of course, multiply it by four. It's twice as much as it is at home."
Yeah.
I hate to say, but I remember, maybe my dad told me, but I remember when gasoline was like 18 cents a gallon.
I'm sorry, I could remember when it was 12 when my father bought a brand new 68 Impala, 68 Chevy Impala, and gas was 12 cents a gallon, and he filled up his whole tank for under $6.
Right.
Now it used to be, It used to be that $6 would get you 20 gallons. Now $20 gets you 6 gallons. It's crazy. $20 don't even really get you 6 gallons anymore.
Yeah, I remember passing the can around, no dough, no go, and filling up, get half a tank for like $1.25 because we'd go surfing. That was all we needed.
Well, I remember pretty distinctly before I went away that gas was about $1.19 a gallon, $1.29 a gallon in there.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came home, it was already $2.80, $2.70, $2.80. Now it's a dollar more than that.
Yeah. Do you remember when it was? Do you remember the big stink over it getting to 50 cents? I remember. In 72, when they had the gas shortage in California, that I remember. Oh, geez, people just went ballistic when they found out they had to pay 50 cents a gallon.
Yeah, well, they still reelected Tricky Dicky, right?
Mm-hmm. They did.
And it was the Arab nationalization of the oil fields that caused that, basically. The Arabs nationalized the oil fields, which is basically a confiscation of the oil fields from the oil companies to the Arab nations. And the Soviets had actually encouraged them to do that, and the only thing that prevented a war was the Arab agreement that they would only take dollars for oil.
Right.
Which basically had the effect of making the U.S. dollar the international currency. And
well,
that's all well and good, but it still had the effect of just screwing the American people.
Right, yeah. I mean, I remember when I was younger, like when I was only like 13, even 15, gas was only maybe $1, $1.20 at the most, and $20 still tanked with cash back.
Mm-hmm.
Today, $20 is still at halfway. Well, I understand all that oil we have is all, that's all promised to Red China. Helps pay our debt. And that's why
we send them all their manufacturing. I mean, all our manufacturing, why shouldn't we send them all our oil? We obviously don't need it. We don't manufacture anything.
Yeah, it's all over a lot of that oil. I remember because I worked out in the oil rigs. I drilled oil wells, and I remember almost everyone we drilled, except up on private locations and stuff, all the ones I got in Long Beach, California, there were all capped, and that was it. And they just would tell us, if you ask anything about it, they'd say, well, that's just in case of war. It's emergency wells, they said.
But all oil is being produced naturally all the time.
Mm-hmm. It's like diamonds, you know. They're produced and... Well, not like diamonds, but, I mean, they try to make diamonds out like they're so rare. Diamonds aren't that rare.
No, they're not. But if you keep them back in the market, then they become so, don't they?
Well, right. The Jews have all the diamond mines in the world sewed up.
Oh, yeah. Boy, they. Yeah, I just saw a show on that the other day. Oh, man, you should have seen them. They're like a bunch of little rats with all the diamonds all around them. They look like they were going to wash their faces in it or something. My dad worked for a Jew. He was a car salesman. And my dad told me in the morning that this little Jew, when things started getting kind of bad, they wouldn't sell a lot of cars, he'd put all his change in a bowl of water and he'd wash his face with it. Supposed to bring him good luck.
That's terrible.
So there you go. Baptism.
I guess.
Baptism. Baptism Jewish style. So, well, I thought that was pretty funny myself, but... Well, I have a uncle who works in construction, and he tried to do a project once, and he needed lumber, and he went down to one of the lumber yards, and they said we couldn't get him any, and when he asked why, they said because 2/3 of all of the United States lumber and steel automatically goes to China.
Yeah.
Who's that guy I heard on Republic Broadcasting? His name is Lindsey Williams. I've heard him on several different shows. But he was the one that I heard about the oil and how it's given to the Chinese, and also that it's supposed to go up over $200 a barrel. And
yeah, there's a reason why I don't trust him. And the reason is that he supposedly, according to him, went to the oil fields of Alaska to talk to all the oil company bigwigs. Well, the oil company bigwigs are sitting in their asses in mansions on Long Island, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a preacher to all those people up there or something like that, he said, and they trusted him.
Yeah, Clifton liked him, but I don't trust him just for that reason, because I know that you don't go to the oil fields of Alaska to talk to oil company bigwigs. The people in the know are not on the Alaskan tundra getting their hands dirty. It's not happening. They're just middle managers on the Alaskan tundra getting their hands dirty.
Yes. It was also because I have family that still works up there. They work for Argo, which is now BP. And, well, I can't say that it was Lindsay, but I heard one of those guys there saying about that we don't own the Alaskan pipeline anymore, that it was given, it was sold to Britain, and all that kind of stuff. But that's not true. No, they help out in some of the maintenance, but the United States owns that oil pipeline, the Alaska pipeline.
Well, is it securitized?
Is it what?
Is it securitized? Is it in the control of the corporation, or is it in the control of the government?
Well, it's control of the oil companies.
Well, right. So if it's Texaco, in the control of the oil companies, then whoever holds stock in the oil companies controls the pipeline. Whoever controls the voting stock in the oil companies. Depending on how the company
is in American hands. It's not, it wasn't just sold to BP and it's gone. It's still in American hands. So, but, I don't know how long that's going to be. They'll sell that too, like they did with the Panama Canal.
Well, the Panama Canal was never securitized. It was just basically handed back to the Panamanians, who immediately leased it to China.
Yeah. No offense, Judith. It's about the pipeline in with the British.
I'm sure Judith understands that British Petroleum is... It is about as British as Exxon Corp is American, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. It's all big money. From what I understand, our oil is, that's all leased out. That's all saved and used on our debt, say China. Or I guess some of it goes to Japan. I don't know. It's split up between a few of them. But that's just, instead of you, who knows how cheap it would be if we were just using it for ourselves.
And also, there are other technologies which we could have used, and they have been suppressed or, they're not in the running at the moment for whatever reason. But, oil, it didn't have to be oil.
Yep. But I remember it was a booming industry about 20 years ago. Well, let's see, 20 years, 25 years ago. All through California, it was pretty, very booming.
Well, there's a whole... subculture in pursuit of free energy and differing sources of energy, and it's that there's a lot of stories that are elusive and a lot of accounts of 1,000 mile per gallon. Well, I'm exaggerating, per gallon carburetors that were suppressed, and I often don't know what to believe and what not to believe with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That being a casual observer.
Right.
But surely oil is not the and oil or fission are not the last stop on the energy resource map, right? I would hope that there's something that's more efficient and easier to obtain that's out there somewhere.
Mm. Yeah, less dangerous to pull out of the ground in the process, refined. But then again, puts a lot of people to work.
Judas has talked about horse and the horse and buggy being a lot more enticing to ride around in an automobile, but I don't know where I'd plug my cell phone in. I can't. That has me in a quandary.
Now they're saying cell phones are going to give you cancer, tumors, and stuff like that. No.
Well, they probably do if you hold one up to your head for 6 hours a day, like most of these people do. I wouldn't doubt if they didn't encourage the development of tumors. It's like anything else. It's how you use it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, misuse of a firearm will give you a large hole in body parts where you don't need it, right? You'll have extra large piercings in various parts if you're not careful. Any tool can be abused and do you harm. There's no doubt. But I don't knock the technology because abuse can cause you harm. Well, what else do we have today? We have to have something else to talk about today. I was at the National Constitution Center in what was Bob on Tuesday in Philadelphia. And if you did not know anything about American history when you got there, when you left, you would be convinced that the American Revolution was not to free us from tyranny in Europe. The American Revolution was fought so that eventually the Negro slave could be freed. And from that point on in history, it all revolves around the Negro. That's the basic climate and the basic way history is related at the National Constitution Center in Philadelphia today. And I'll be hopefully writing about that for the next Saxon Messenger at great length. That's my plan anyway.
History is being entirely rewritten, isn't it?
Yes, history is being rewritten, especially in America, to suit the Jew and the Negro. Philadelphia seems to revolve all around the Jew and the Negro, and also the Chinese immigrants today. And I'm going to bring that out. I've already started to write the articles that I hope to write. If you go to christagania.org/Philadelphia, PhiltaDelphia. It's just basically spell Philadelphia, but add a TH after the first L. And you'll see the beginnings of my writing on that. I already have a few thoughts formulated, but I have a lot of work to do to finish it. And now I have a whole bunch more of, I have another 100 or so images to add to the collection that we took at the Constitution Center. But yeah, history there revolves around the Negro. The American Revolution was fought to free the Negro and to give women the vote. It's incredible, the way they present history there.
Sad.
And I think anybody who tries to present a different side of things, they're then deemed to be racist. And often charges brought against them just to silence them. I mean, you have that with in my opinion, with Edgar Steele.
The Edgar Steele thing, I'm afraid it's still a big... I know a lot of patriots have rallied to his cause, but it's still a big question mark with me for various reasons, and I'm going to let it go with that.
That's because you're concerned about his interaction with Russia on the female trafficking. But as I understand it, his wife was working with him on that, and he was writing a book. So, and they were both involved in that together. I've been on his mailing list for years, and you do build up a picture about somebody, and you would read between the lines, and I've read his books as well. And whilst he hasn't got the big picture like we have, he certainly made a lot of enemies.
But did he ever harp on the mail order bride Russian woman thing before his arrest? Did he ever discuss the topic? Or I'm curious. I'm asking honestly on that.
No, because after he had his heart attack, And this was work that he was doing after that, as far as I know, because it was research for his next book.
Mm-hmm.
I know you've got your reservations, Bill, but you know, I'd be very surprised. I just think he was awfully naive.
His wife would not go along with something like that. I guarantee
you. No, she's got.
Well, I don't know, because I'm critical, you know, of a lot of husband and wife relationships, because I've actually witnessed with my own eyes women get the literal shit slapped out of them by their husbands. And I've seen them come bail their husbands out of jail 6 hours later, I swear. And I've seen it over and over again. It's incredible.
But his wife is a force to be reckoned with in her own right. And, you know, I have a great respect for her. And I just think he's been somewhat naive because he didn't have the big picture that we've got. But he did know who his enemies were. He did know about the Jews and what they were doing, and he spoke out against it courageously, and, you know, that's why he had to be silenced, because he had quite a big following.
Okay. I don't know. I really don't. I'm not. I wasn't happy with a few things he wrote back in when he was writing articles for the Barnes Review. I mean, I know he had a certain level of awareness, but he's also in bed with Michael Piper Collins and
yeah, he doesn't understand the bigger picture, and he only thinks that probably certain Jews, those, you know, at the top of the tree, are the ones that are,
right.
You know. So that's why I say he's not fully aware.
And Mark Glenn is another clown he was in bed with, and I was always, yeah, you know, I always had a very negative view of Mark Glenn. And
Mark Glenn's part Arab.
Well, I understand that.
Yeah.
And I think Michael Collins Piper is part American Indian also.
And he claims to be, and he's just an Arab lover. I mean.
Yeah.
And Mark Lane, it is a big figure in that American Free Press, and he's a Jew, and I can't understand how a Jew is running a supposedly patriotic publication. And there's a lot of things that at Barnes Review I look at quite critically now.
Hey, look what they did. I don't know if you remember, but look what they did to the John Birch Society. Long years and years back.
Hasn't it?
Yeah, they moved right in and took care of, you know, Larry Abrams, you know, there they come.
Well, Mark Lane was actually present when Jim Jones drank the Kool-Aid, and now he's working for the American Free Press. Go figure. How does that happen?
Yeah.
And Jim Jones was an avowed communist. Yep. How does that happen? I don't know. That's what's he, an extreme neocon or something? That's what it seems like to me.
Charles Giuliani. So,
well, what else do we have today? That can't be it. There's got to be more than that.
I'm laughing at that picture there. Well,
is Matthew still in Holland? I haven't seen him in weeks.
Well, he's still sending emails. Well, from me.
Okay. Maybe he's home. I don't know.
I don't know. I really don't know. He could.
You mean Cheryl's Matthew?
No, Cheryl's Matthew is here, but Matthew in Germany. German Matthew.
Right. Okay. Gotcha.
Sorry, I'm on.
Cool. What are you doing?
Yesterday, in the press, the European Union was saying that child benefit, which is paid to all parents in the UK, these figures should be published for the immigrants who come here and who claim child benefit, where their children are still back home in the European Union country they've come from. And apparently the figure is going into millions and millions of pounds, and nobody checks that the number of children that they allege to have, you know, is that actually correct. So, you know, everywhere you look, you just see that we're being bled dry.
Well, right, it's an invasion, and what do invaders do? They loot and pillage. That's the first thing they do.
Yes.
And that's what we will never understand, that these people, well, we see them as immigrants here to help us build our nation. Well, no, they're not. We're idiots. They're invaders here to take our nation. Well, we never get past the media propaganda and look into the mindset of the gypsy or the Mexican or whoever the invader happens to be.
Right.
People see these Chinatowns in the United States as enclaves where the Chinese want to become Americans. That's not true. They're launching points where the Chinese want to colonize America. They're not enclaves. They're launching points. They're beachheads.
Yeah. Yes.
It's incredible how stupid we are. It's absolute. The only thing that explains it is that God is true. And it's the fulfillment of the scriptures that tell us that he's going to sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and the seed of beast. But we can't ever make the mistake, like Eli James does, that the beast could ever be men who are going to be judged by the law. That's just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
They're always going to be beasts.
Right.
Well, talking about Chinese, over here, there was a Chinese restaurant. Someone ordered a dish, I don't know what it was, supposed to be beef something, and they found a detector, one of those, what do you call it, those electronic beeper-like things you put in, you know, the, what do you call them, for, you know, like in case you lose something, whatever.
RFID.
Yes, like they have a dog.
Yeah.
Right.
They found that in their food.
Well, that and they made of a dog then.
And then, yeah, and then they did a investigation in there. They found that this restaurant was, well, I hate to even think about it, was serving up dog and cats.
That's what they do.
Oh.
I hate to think about it because when I was a kid, I ate Chinese food. And, you know, if you're eating Chinese food in a Chinese restaurant, chances are you're eating Fido or Fifi because they don't care what they serve you.
Mm-hmm.
These people have no morals and no scruples. My wife and I've told this story before, and it's a true story. My wife and I, one thing we did together besides make babies was walk the dogs every evening. Outside of that, we really had nothing in common. But we walked the dogs every evening together for half an hour, 45 minutes, about between 10 and 11 p.m. maybe. That was a routine with us. And what we always talked about how when we were kids, there were lots of stray dogs and cats running around. And in the 80s, in the town we lived in, a lot of Chinese came over from Chinatown in Manhattan and established storefront restaurants in various towns in New Jersey. And ours was one of them, being right across the water. And up and down the avenue, there were about 30 storefront Chinese restaurants where, in the 70s, I remember one. And it branched out to about a couple of dozen, at least, by the mid-80s. And it was more than that by the mid-90s. And it just exploded, right? And the people in the Chinese storefront restaurant around the corner from us lived in the storefront restaurant. that they would see the lights go out every night at 10 o'clock, and an old Chinese guy would stay and lock the door, and we knew that there was a delivery boy, and there were a mother and a father and two daughters all in the store all day, and we never saw them leave it at night.
Mm-hmm.
They locked the door, and they shut the lights out, and they stayed inside. They lived there.
Yeah.
Whether they lived in the back room, in the basement, wherever they were, they lived there. And it was only a one-story building.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, right. They're living in a restaurant. And waking up in the morning and going to work and going back to sleep on a floor somewhere at night. That's the way they live. They live like roaches.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about how from the time that we were kids until this time, you know, back in the mid-90s, all of the stray cats and dogs in the city disappeared. When we were kids, there were stray cats and stray dogs all over town. And they were all gone by the mid-90s. And it was not anything that the city did to eliminate them. They just disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And it had to be the influx of Chinese immigrants. I have no doubt.
Right.
That like they either ate them or they served them. and I would say it was probably a lot of both.
Yeah. Well, they had a saying over in California, there in Westminster, California, that you better watch your walk and your dog because your dog will get walked.
Yes, yes.
They brought a bunch of Vietnamese over from the Vietnam War in 70, or when was that? In 19, I think in the late 70s, right after the Vietnam War. And they located them right there in Southern California, of course, in one town in particular, Westminster. And all the cats and dogs are disappearing, and they found out, investigating it, they found out that they were eating all the cats and dogs. The one they interviewed, one of the dinks they interviewed there said that they just loved America because they had the fattest dogs they ever saw. I ever seen. Big fat dogs.
I believe it. There's no doubt in my mind. They ate every stray cat and dog in New Jersey. And probably a lot of household pets they could get their paws on.
Oh, sorry, sheepheads, huh?
Well, they're even killing the swans here and eating those, and that is definitely an immigrant thing.
Well, right, and if you listen to Charles that comes on here, and the people in Europe are never going to see him, he's in Korea, he's working in Korea, and he comes on here late in the evening, maybe about 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock a.m., 12 a.m., and that's his morning. That's his late morning. But he'll tell us that, and I'll be talking about my walk or whatever in the animal life, or he'll see some of the pictures on my website in the animal life around here, the horses and the goats and things like that. And he'll marvel because in Korea, he doesn't see any animals. They ate them all.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
There are no animals in Korea. They ate everything.
Oh, they're starving over there, yeah.
Wow.
So he marvels at how much animal life is in New York, because he doesn't see any animals over there.
Yeah, like I said, that one, he was very...
There's no farms over there?
Big, fat dogs.
Evidently not, WCB. They must import it all. Any meat that they eat.
Yeah, they probably buy their fish from Japan and other stuff from China.
The Japanese eat dogs and cats too, huh? I didn't know that.
Well, the Asian eats anything. They have a totally different mentality about food than we do. They will eat anything that moves. I've seen it. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen them snatch. I've seen a Chinese guy snatch cicadas out of the air and eat them. I've seen them hunt frogs.
Right.
And eat them.
Look at, they eat the seafood. They eat anything that moves in the sea. You know, shark and all that kind of stuff. I don't like to eat shark because of that, you know, that old saying, what comes around goes around.
They are. In China, they keep bears in cages and harvest their bile to help the Chinese man digest his food.
Right. They're very big on aphrodisiacs and...
And they do what?
Crazy pagan ideas like that. And
what do? They eat the bears?
No, they have these bears. They have these black bears that... I think they're called moon bears because they have like a moon patch on their face, like a white patch looks like a moon. And they keep them in cages, and they harvest their bile. Like, they have catheters in their livers and harvest their bile.
And they do, what was that? What is that for?
Well, bile helps you digest fat, so I guess they drink it.
Right. Maybe that's why, well, I don't
know. You understand why we got food laws, don't you?
Yeah. That we let, what gets me is we let these people in our countries, and then some people stick up for these people. Oh, they're poor babies, and because you kill babies and all this kind of stuff. And it's people
they
don't
have a link for it right here.
They don't understand that little baby rattlesnake will bite you just as and give you just as much poison as an adult.
Well, they're absolutely revolting. They don't share our morals, they don't share our culture, our respect for law, and that they're absolutely contrary and destructive to everything that we stand for. And we allow them to overrun our nation. It's an invasion. It's not, they're never going to become like us, and you're never going, once there's enough of them, you're not going to stop them from eating us.
Right.
And they will.
Yes. Yes. Well, you just look what happened to ancient Israel, and we just degress. We're in this process of degressing, and that's part of it. Sacrificing your children and everything. You know, crime gets, just like now, everything is just getting worse and worse and worse. Did you hear, Judith, over there on your island there, that Muslim who got upset with his little white girlfriend? Looking at some boy on Facebook, so in his mentality, she deserved to be beaten with a fire extinguisher.
No, I didn't hear about it.
Yeah, a Muslim boy, you know, and he was upset because she looked at some other boy on the Facebook. Right next to it was an advertisement for T-Mobile, and it had a blonde, beautiful blonde white girl with two black guys looking over her shoulder, you know, looking at the phone and everything like that, talking about keeping in touch with your friends and all that.
That's the image they constantly want to push. They constantly want to push black men and white women and race mixing. There's no doubt.
Yeah, well, whoever put that together. They didn't plan the pages out right because there's this big nigger, these two big niggers looking to look like they were like gonna grab her or whatever, looking at her phone, gonna grab her or grab her phone, steal and beat her, and then they over here on the next page they have a picture of this Muslim, this black Muslim, and a picture of the blonde girl and talking about how he caved her head in. You know what I mean? They should have put it over a few more pages, you know.
Well, that's the, the inevitable end result.
Here it is. You know, it was like a story. There she is meeting him. There she is getting beaten by him.
Or you have, like, the Mongol children that are have, like, identity problems because they don't fit in.
They never did.
And they should never fit in because they're an abomination.
Yeah, my brother was friends with Eartha Kitt. I don't know if you ever remember Eartha Kitt. It was this black singer a long time ago, but I don't know how he met her, maybe in college or whatever, but he met her daughter who was a mongrel, or what do you call him, high yellow or whatever.
Yeah, the white half was probably Jewish.
Could have been, but she was, I remember my brother telling me that she hated her mom and her dad, because her dad was white or could have been a Jew, I don't know. She just hated being in the middle like that. So, thank goodness most of those women, they married back into the black race anyway. But, you know, and, oh, that was another thing that Giuliani, he believed in was race mixing.
Well, right. He bought into the whole. Charles Giuliani has bought into the entire Jewish plan for the destruction of the white race, and then he goes around calling people Jews that disagree with him.
Exactly.
And he's adopted the entire agenda of the Jews.
Right. Yeah. I don't think listening to that show, you know what, Bill, we forgot to mention the website, the Crystalvania website. I don't think he gave your website up.
No, I never gave my website out on the program.
No. Uh-oh.
What?
What is that?
That's Otilia trying to talk, and her microphone is breaking up, and it's absolutely horrible. I'm sorry, Otilia, I had to shut your microphone off. That was terrible.
Oh, she's speaking in Chinese, Thor says.
I don't know what the issue with your microphone is, but it's terribly screechy and
ching ling ling ling.
Yeah, it sounded absolutely terrible. Maybe if she comes back in, I'll turn her back on. I think she probably has a bad internet connection or she needs to be reboot.
I'll boot that.
Otilia? Talk to me, Otilia.
Can you hear me now?
Now that I'm better.
There you go.
Okay, I don't know what happened. Now?
Okay.
Okay, I'm good. I'm good, it's okay. So, I wanted to ask about something. It's not on the subject, but it would be nice to discuss about it, about the nature of God. Of course, I think everyone asks how God is. For instance, I think that what God says, He's the beginning and the end, Alpha and Omega. But I want to ask your opinion, how you think that is. For instance, I think he's like a multi-dimensional being, because he has to be everywhere in order to know what everything that happens. But also he can be in one place, like Christ came to earth in flesh. He can become one person, but he can be everything, like everywhere.
Well, I would think that the essence of God, of what is God, permeates the entire universe, and that he can manifest himself at the same time as he pleases.
Mm.
And that's my personal belief.
Well, that's what I think too.
Well, yes, and that's how God is the
spirit of light, like particles, and
that's how he's the pillar of smoke and the pillar of fire and the rock in the desert and even Jesus Christ. That they are all different manifestations of the essence of God. And Paul calls Christ the fullness of the divinity embodied, and that doesn't mean that the entire power that is God could occupy the body of a man, but that Christ was as much God as a man could possibly get. You know, that as much of God, of the essence of God that could be human, was made human.
Yes, also, we have this impression that for everything to exist, it has to be created, because, of course, God created everything. But it's like a silly question, but then you ask, who created God? But he existed from the beginning. But I wonder, I think in order to exist, it needs a space, because nothing can exist if it's not a space. So that leads to the conclusion that God probably is the whole space and time itself. Like, I don't know.
Well, that is a human perception that nothing can exist without occupying what we consider to be space. But that's a human perception, right?
Yeah.
Yes, but even if it's let's say, I don't know, a spiritual being, a non-visible being, it should occupy a space, I think, well, from a human point of view.
Well, right. I think that's because we, as humans, are very attached to the physical world, and because our perception of physics is limited to the physical world.
Yeah.
Just because we are able to formulate what we believe are the laws of physics, that doesn't, and they may be indeed laws, that doesn't mean that that physics itself can't transcend that. And even the word physics indicates that it's related to our perception of the physical world. The physical world,
yeah.
Right?
Yes, I was also wondering if God created other kinds of people on other planets, because let's face it, the universe it's huge, it's infinite.
Well, we can't know what's outside of our realm. I mean, we just can't know it. But one of the books of Enoch that may or may not be considered canonical actually discusses being taken up in a vessel and seeing other people that were just like him.
Right. And those that were in the heavenlies that never were on earth.
That would explain where Christ went, but I don't know, maybe there is also some parallel invisible world to us. Because he resurrected and then she went, right?
Yeah.
Well, I believe that my personal belief is that if you were in the spirit, you would perceive that to be the physical world.
Oh.
And there's a few times there where it says that, you know, that he went through the midst of them, which I believe that, you know, he just disappeared and walked through the midst of them. He still had that knowledge of being able to make himself invisible, whether speeding up his, however that's done, you know, speeding up his molecules or whatever, kind of like a fan, you know, you see a fan sitting there and you turn the fan on, and the faster the fan goes, it disappears light, but it's still there.
I don't necessarily interpret that in a supernatural way. I know how Swift and Comparé explained it, and that's pretty much as you're explaining it now. But
right.
it's you know, when Paul said he had a spiritual experience and met a man that he thought was in the spirit, and Paul couldn't really determine whether or not he was in his body or outside of it, right? that the heavenly planes was very much like the physical world as he experienced it.
Right. But what I was saying, that Yahweh had that still had that knowledge of being able to do things like that. And then when he went up on the Mount Transfiguration, you know,
well, the transfiguration and the walking on water and things like that are indicative on their plain surface, on the plain literary surface of an overcoming of the natural world, right?
Right.
If you say that we don't fully use our brain, like we lose 50% or 20%, and, well, Christ did all those things because he was God, but I think that what we call paranormal things like telepathy, things like that, could be accomplished if all our brain would function like 100%. And maybe that would happen when the kingdom of Christ would come. What we call now supernatural powers, let's say, could be possible there where we will have our full capacity of our brain.
Well, I understand what you're saying, Otilia, but I would have to agree with WCB, who's typing in the chat that we use all of our brain. I think the idea that we don't use our full mental capacity is probably a dated idea.
That's what some scientists said.
It was the popular perception, I think, up through the 80s, I believe. And maybe even still in the minds of many people today, but I think that our research and technology have revealed that most of us use all of our brain, right? And I would think that most of the Negroes use all the brain they're ever going to have now, so I'm picking on the lesser races again, but that's natural.
Okay, but then what you can tell me about if telepathy and this kind of mental power are just like science fiction, or we could never accomplish them?
Well, they're the imagination of men, right? They're not really within our personal experience, are they?
Yeah.
Bill, didn't the Russians do tests where people were able to do telekinesis? So I don't know much about telepathy, but I think they were able to do studies where people do have telekinetic ability.
No, I would want to see it before I Russians have been. The American media, and especially the Art Bell types, have been attributing an awful lot of special powers to these mysterious Russians who are just out of our reach, right? It's kind of like the ancient Greeks. The ancient Greeks used to write all kinds of weird stories about the people in the hinterlands who were just out of the reach of normal the normal average Greek, and the Greek writers used to write about the one-eyed Arimaspians and all kinds of wild stories like that, and those people were always just out of reach, and we couldn't really eyewitness them for ourselves. We had to take the writer's word for it that they were there, and I think that the Russians were treated in that same manner in American media and storytelling in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. I really do.
Yeah, but they also allegedly created a gorilla-man hybrid. I think they tried to, but I don't believe that happened.
So you think that these things are not into the human reach or not possible?
Well, I'm a pragmatist, right? I would want to see it. Yeah, Christ said if we had faith, we could move mountains, but who's really moving the mountain, us or God?
Yeah. I mean, if we could do that stuff, I don't think a lot of us would be on this earth still. It would be going back into the spirit, going back into the heavenlies. But the Apostle Paul mentioned that he waited for the redemption of the spirit, that our bodies would take on the bodies of light again, we were before the fall, that we would become the spiritual body of light.
I think then we will have different capacities than now. Probably, I don't know.
We won't know until he returns and or we die. I think, I believe there is something there, of course. I believe.
Like better health, better reasoning, faster thinking, imaginating more, maybe some other capacities we're not aware of.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree.
Still, there are people claiming they have, I don't know what powers, but that's I think they consider themselves too much.
Yeah, like that minister that was saying that the world was going to come to an end on May 21st.
Yeah.
Like that. Well, we don't know. I mean, I know people, I know a woman, in fact, that does healing on people. I mean, I've seen her help a lot of people, and she's not, I don't know how to explain it, but my brother, for instance, had problems with his neck, and sent healing spirits to help him, his neck, fix his neck and everything, and he's done pretty well. People with cancer and all this kind of stuff.
Well, for me, it happened two times. Some strange things. I really cannot explain them. Just while I was dreaming something, and when I woke up, some people just told me what they did or something like that, and that was exactly what I had dreamed. In the same time I was dreaming, those people were doing that. It was strange. It happened two times, but it was strange.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, there were people that healed the apostles.
Yeah, maybe sometimes people get in contact with something we cannot understand.
Yeah, what was that guy's name? William Casey, or... A guy in the 30s and 40s.
Edgar Casey, was it?
Edgar Casey, right. They said that he had the ability to healing and tell the future or whatever and things.
I think it was a fraud, but that's okay.
Yeah, I don't know. But I just, you know, if there were people, if the apostles or the disciples could heal people and Yahweh said that, you know, there'll be greater things that you could do than what you see here. If there was people healing back in those days, I don't see why there couldn't be anybody healing people today if they had that type of gift or whatever you want to call it. I mean, who knows? This woman that we know, I mean, there has been, I don't know how many people that she's helped. You know, she doesn't take money or anything like that. But talking, these people that talk to her say that she has some type of gift. They're doing better than they were, whether it was a psychological thing or not. But my brother, who is far away from any of that kind of stuff, was saying that with his neck being so bad and everything, that when she just talked to him over the phone, and he said that, or she said to him, I see you got problems with your neck and everything, and we're going to try to fix that. And he said that it felt like somebody's hands, warm hands, rubbing the back of my neck. He said, I thought there was somebody behind me. But,
that's
don't know. You know, like, I just believe that there could be people like that. I mean, and, you know, our race of people.
Many of all, I was once looking at a YouTube video about some pastor dressed in gold and talking about Christ and healing, and he has a miracle water, and that water cost, like, I don't know how many dollars.
Yeah.
That water completely cures you, and all the people there going and buying water, whatever.
Yeah,
well, that's... They just lie. People really think that.
You know, there's people that would pay that money to do something like that. I mean, this woman I know, she doesn't take any money. She won't take money or anything.
Well, that's just like the people who go out there and buy their $50 white rose because they think they need a special robe to be raptured when you're leaving the robe behind anyway, right?
You take nothing with it.
Well, the white robe that gets you into heaven can't be bought.
You don't even take your light skin with you when you die.
Well, Michael Jackson did, okay, so there is a chance.
Don't keep talking about Michael now. Yeah.
There was some funny picture about him when she was a child, and then throughout his age, and becoming whiter and looking like a woman. And there was a commentary like, America is the only country where a poor black boy can become a rich, beautiful white woman.
Yeah.
And that was funny.
Yeah. He was a
freak.
He was a freak, it was really... I just could imagine if he had a white doctor that
he named one of his kids Blanket.
He's a white. How could it be?
He probably liked cuddling up with his own kids.
They were a surrogate. They don't have any of his DNA, I doubt it.
Is
Justin. Yeah, but getting back to the spirit is pure light. I mean, it says that in the Old Testament that God is not a man. God is light. Christ was the light unto the world. We are the light.
And the disciples got the disciples saw a little bit of that when they went up on the mountain with him, and he, he turned into his body of light just when he was supposed to be talking to Moses, and they got a little.
Was that the transubstantiation, or was that the?
Yeah, not when he was going down, not when he was returning to heaven, though.
No, that was a transcendence. With Moses?
Moses and...
And Elijah?
And it wasn't Elijah, yeah. There was that great blast of light that human eyes probably couldn't see. That's the reason.
Well, when Moses came back down from Sinai, that there was such a light coming from his countenance that he had to put a cloth over his head.
Right.
Because the light of his spirit was so.
Yeah, his spirit was so bright. Yeah. Who knows? We all have our opinions about it, but. Until that time comes, the knowledge like that will be given to us. But we go back to know it. I believe it's all in our minds. Just that,
literally.
Well,
like when Jacob when he wrestled with the man and said that in this place that they met God face to face, and he said that his wife had been saved, called the place of Peniel.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Peniel gland, which actually it's a eye in the middle of the two hemispheres of the brain. Told it's electrical activity throughout the body. Or
well, you know, that name for the pineal gland was given much, much later, right? But by people speaking a different language. And we don't know what their motivation was for giving the gland that name, right? So we can't be too quick to make that association.
But the original name in the Bible, that was the original name, though, right? So
I would have to go look, and I would have to look up the Hebrew word.
Melatonin, yeah. Isn't that the pineal gland that controls
our sleep? Yeah, actually, melatonin derived from the Greek for honey.
What was that?
Melatonin derived from the Greek word for honey.
That may be. I don't know. I would have to look up melatonin.
Because it's a Greek actually.
But melis is the Greek word for honey, right? And it's Melanie basically means I think means that name is taken from the Greek word for honey or the Greek word for a sort of grain that is a for barley.
Interesting.
Yeah, Melissa and Melis are related. Melissa is the Greek word for honey, but Melas is also M-E-L-A-S.
But what's also interesting is that the
Melody is millet. The two words are very similar. Melis is Melis, M-E-L-A-S, is the word for black and swart, and that's where melatonin probably comes in. But there is a word for honey that is extremely similar. Meli, M-E-L-I, okay, is where Melissa comes from. Meli is honey, okay? Melas, M-E-L-A-S, is swart, and that's where melatonin comes from. And then there's melos, M-E-L-O-S, that's a limb, and it's, you know, it's a bunch of similar words. Melanie is millet. So the girl's name, Melissa, is actually a bee. Melissa is a bee, but it also refers to honey. And Meli, M-E-L-I, is properly honey. And Melas, M-E-L-A-S, is black or swart. It's one of many words that could mean black or dark. I think I've got a list of about 12 of them here. So melatonin would definitely come from melas, M-E-L-A-S, which has nothing to do with honey except for the first three letters being the same. Yeah, I get confused with the M-E-L words, too. Wow, did it get quiet here?
There are some nice videos on YouTube about five evolutions from exploration films, where a former evolutionist biologist studies more animals and describes that they couldn't have possibly evolved. You can watch it, they are very good. But still, people who do not believe in God try to find it an explanation, though there cannot be.
Yeah, right. Man can rationalize anything, but that doesn't mean that it happened that way. And evolution is the religion of the rationalist, the humanist. It's a perfect religion for humanism, the belief that we basically created ourselves because we evolved.
When I studied biology, I was completely stunned to see how perfect, how in the body everything is perfect, everything is right there where it has to be, combined in harmony. And I think how could out of nothing could something like this be? And there is impossible to think that well, you know, I'm doing millions of times and. Because it cannot be to be so perfectly and harmoniously like we were created and the animals and nature.
Well, it can be demonstrated. I haven't put it all together yet, but it can be demonstrated from Greek writers that evolution was a basically posited by certain Greek philosophers at a very early time, and it's basically a pagan belief, and it's impossible. And the idea that we grew out of the ground, it exists for thousands of years, and it's a wrong idea for thousands of years. And just because they've given it a scientific overtone doesn't mean it's true. It's a religion for the godless. I really think it's addressed in the Bible where Yahweh scolds those who look at a rock and call it daddy.
Yeah, but I think many, because the Bible is interpreted wrong, many discredit it. They do not understand and think it's a fairy tale and accept the scientific point of view.
Right.
Which is wrong, of course.
Well, right, and that's, again, it all goes back to the same Jew, right? The
universal... Was Darwin a Jew? I don't know.
Well, no, Darwin was not a Jew himself, and I seriously doubt if he was, but he was affected by that same humanism. Well, which started with the Jesuits, that same higher criticism that caused people to begin questioning the Bible. That's the father of modern science, which isn't really science. It's really modern science to a great extent. It is the religion of the Jews, and it espouses the beliefs of the Jews.
Modern psychology too. All based mostly on what Freud.
Right. But there's a lot of legitimacy to scientific inquiry, but it should be inquiry. What we shouldn't imagine that because two things are similar, that explains our origins. Because it doesn't. Because an amino acid can't possibly form itself into a chain of proteins capable of producing life.
Yeah, this biologist says that it's impossible to create out of dead chemicals what were life. Not even now with the technology they have, they cannot do this.
No, and they never ever will be able to do it.
That's the law.
Oh, they the they say that, oh, it can happen just one time. It happens one time. But if it happens one time, it has to happen more times, right? It cannot happen just one time, one thing, right? The life.
Well, right, and that's the basically the arrogance of the Jew is that all he has to do is add the concept of time and chance to the equation, and that'll make it true. And nobody can prove it because nobody has enough time and enough chances. But in reality, it's simply impossible. If it had happened one time, it would be happening on multiple occasions. If evolution were true, we would have, after a several millennia of written history, we would have evidence of evolution in history that we don't have. And adaptation, they like to take the ability of certain species to adapt to a particular environment and call that microevolution. Well, it's not changing the species into something other than what it was. That the basic structure of the species does not change. So that is not evolution. And they use those terms simply to blur the distinction and to fool us into thinking that macroevolution, which is the development of a new species from something different, is possible, and macroevolution does not happen.
Mm.
Macroevolution is a lie. It's never happened.
Do you remember when the coelacanth was, that fish was discovered, and if they only had records of it existing 400 million years ago? When it was rediscovered, it was identical to the fossilized records that they had.
Right.
And I mentioned this to an evolutionist, and he said, oh, well, it didn't need to evolve any further. You know, that's his argument. So.
Well, they just...
Well, then what need does anything have to evolve, right?
Exactly.
They make all these claims as evolution, and there's no proof at all to back it up. It's just like it's like Charles Giuliani. He makes all these statements and everything, and backs nothing up. I mean, they just what was it? Einstein. Einstein, from what I understand, never debated with anybody on physics or anything. He avoided all that. I don't believe that he was. I believe he stole a lot of his information out of the archives or what is his wife worked at the patent?
He worked for the Bavarian Patent Office, I believe,
for
quite some time as a clerk. And he stole all of his information from German
researchers.
And it's the media that made him a genius. He was never a genius.
No. Now, from what I understand, he never ever debated on the issue or nothing. Never always tried to avoid that. Or did avoid it.
Well, right. It's German physicists that developed most of his his theories.
Because it was Jean Snyder that told me. Now I think about it. Jean Snyder told me that when she attended school or college, and he was supposed to have... He was speaking at one of the colleges back on the East Coast somewhere, I don't know. But Jean was telling me she was there, and she went to one of his talks, and she said it wasn't more than maybe 7 or 10 people at the most there.
Well, the media made him a genius. It's the power of the Jewish media that made him.
Never achieved anything, did he, after E equals M? Sorry.
Now they found that E doesn't really equal M.
That's right.
because the power to speed of light is not a constant.
Let me give him my E.
that they've discovered that the speed of light signaling is not a compound.
I just sent a link about a Romanian poet who wrote a poem about this Einstein theory. I have to mention that he lived before Einstein. He explained in a poem what Einstein was to discover. It's a very nice poem. He was considered a genius in poetry in Romania. He is considered.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it in my browser until later, and I'll read it later. Thank you.
Okay, it's very interesting because he said that before Einstein did.
Well, I'm going to have to say goodnight, folks. I've got to go out and rescue my dog, so...
Good night, Taya, and y'all bless, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Good night. Bye-bye. The Dead Darwin series sure raised a lot of, sure changed a lot of minds. A lot of Christians also are forcing it down the children's throats when you're in school.
Well, it was a great deception, and I have several relatives that are still caught up with it from that are older people that think they were well read and read maybe not Darwin's books, but like H.G. Wells and his Outline of History had a right. profound impact on a couple of my cousins, and they believe that garbage. And they're written from a totally evolutionary viewpoint, which is all wrong. And the history is terrible.
There is a program in Spain, I think it's in United States also, about some tribes coming to the civilized world. And I just watched, I was curious. And they went to a zoo, and the Spanish white people said, look at the monkey, here we come from, those are our ancestors. And the guys from the tribe, look at them, what's wrong with you? You're going crazy, how can you say that? They who don't know anything had much common sense than an educated white person.
Well, right, and that goes back to what Judith was saying. If monkeys had evolved, we shouldn't have monkeys.
Yes.
Well, when's the last time a monkey evolved? Why aren't they still evolving? They're not.
And also, I heard that we were supposed to evolve from dolphins now.
Whatever the current fad is.
I think there is some, I don't believe in evolution, of course. I think there is some adaptation to the environment. I think maybe organisms can change a bit in order to adapt to the climate, the cold, to warm. I think that might be possible.
Well, right, and that's what I was talking about, the distinction between what they call microevolution, which is really just spatial adaptation, and macroevolution, which is really just a Jewish fantasy.
Yeah, it's another smokescreen to take your mind off and take your eye off what's really going on. It's always something that they're coming up with.
There was an article that a Jew, I think, in Harvard or an university like that, wrote that an article that the eruption of volcanoes triggers events in humanity like the rise of the anti-Semitism, and that's just ridiculous. I was laughing. They try to find any brain in nature for something that you cannot be. Yeah, the rise of the eruption of the volcanoes that were erupting in Iceland and I don't know, South America, I think. It's causing the wave of anti-Semitism. It's ridiculous.
Wow. I would like
yeah.
that one.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe they'll have to get the Jewish Defense League and the ADL over there to invest those volcanoes. Investigate them. Well, there's a, as they're saying, there's a rise in anti-Semitism because there's a rise in what they're doing. And they're programmed to enslave us.
No doubt. No.
Well, you think about us as a slave program.
I'm sure you probably run across a lot of Jewish professors and stuff in school.
No, actually not. I have only white professors. Because
really?
in Romania, where I grew up, there are some Jews, but there aren't so many.
Right.
They're practically in the town where I live, they were like, the only non-whites that I was were gypsies. But still, they were white people. It was amazed to walk in northern Romania. Very white, very, very white.
Well, Romania was a communist nation up until when? When did they actually get rid of the communists in Romania?
I think they never got rid of the communists because, you know, when Ceausescu fell, the communists in 89, another Jew took the power, so nothing ever changed. And everything that was belonged to the state, they sold. For instance, they sold the gas we have in the Carpathians to the Austrians, and now we are buying our own gas from the Austrians. That's a lot of
Yeah.
That's a lot of
Well, wasn't there something where they had, there was a Romanian exodus toward Bulgaria, and there was troops from Bulgaria that went into Romania, and there was like a revolutionary war.
When?
Back in prior to World War II, like in the 1930s.
I don't know, in Bulgaria, I didn't learn in history.
Was there like a civil war in Romania?
Well, there was when the communism fell. And there was also when they, back in time, when they revolted against the Magyars
okay, so that was at the fall of communism back in like the 1980s.
Yeah, when it fell and many people died.
But before that.
Did the Romanians go after the communists? The Jews? Did they go after a lot of the communist Jews when communism fell in Romania?
Well, people were like tired of communism because at the beginning, as every system is good, it was good at the beginning, but at the end, the debt was very big. And there were food shortage, you know, and people were like, they had a card, and with the card they went to the shop. There was nothing like supermarkets, no, nothing. Mm-hmm. There was like exotic food, nothing. Mm-hmm. And people had a card with how many people they had in the family, and they had limited food, and people got tired of that, of course. And if you are against the system, the security will come, will take you, and probably kill you. But after that, people got released. But things didn't got better anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite the same because only Jews. We have only Jews president. So it went from bad to worse.
I thought maybe the people would be a little more aware of the Jewish treachery and run the Jews out of Romania when they had the chance.
Well, when things fell between the wars, Romania was not ruled by Jews, mm-hmm. but then I'm not sure, but before the World War II, then the communists, the Jews took the power, and everything became, every property you had, they will come to your house and take your horse, take your land, take everything, and you were forced to work to the communists, to the state. And that was terrible for the people. They suffered a lot because, just someone comes into your house and give me everything. It was quite traumatic.
Like the IRS in America.
Well, now, I don't know. However, there was no unemployment and stuff like that, but still, it was not good. And still, it's here now. It's not that better anyway because Romanians in Romania it's very hard to live, and many people Romanians went to Italy and Western Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Sad, but that's the reality.
What about the natural resources?
What?
What about the natural resources?
Natural resources.
Yeah,
there are lots of natural resources in the mountains, the gold, the soil is very rich, but people do not, the government is corrupt and people they do not invest in anything. They were about to sell the gold to some American Jew, there are lots of forests. The government does not help people to cultivate. The soil is very rich, but there is no initiative, and people without help they cannot manage it. But yeah, it has lots of resources, a lot of water, a lot of rivers.
Yeah, the Romanians fought on the side of the Germans in the Second World War.
Yes, they changed sides. In the middle of the war, they changed sides. They went to Germany.
Stalin came back in and really slaughtered a lot of Romanians for going on on the side of the Germans.
Yes, I know my grandma told me that she was hearing the train with load with wood. Day and night going to the Russia, day and night, and products, everything went to the Soviet Union, and there was food in exported, but there was no food in the country, and people were lacking a lot of things. It was really bad. It was traumatic, and Romania still didn't recover. Like all the ex-communist countries, Eastern Europe is worse than Western Europe, and that's because of communists. Yeah, they did a lot of damage, and the worst damage they did was psychological to the people.
Yeah, I'm amazed how they get away with, the governments can get away with this stuff when there's more people than them. You got a smaller minority of people controlling, that can control a larger amount of people, like in America. We have our own guns and everything, and yet still we get a communist that's not even an American they put in as president, and he can't.
I think this happens because we're not united. If we are united and all of us just look for a change, we can do it. But I don't know. We cannot unite. We cannot do that. And that's why we are ruled. We cannot search for ourselves.
Can't get together.
Yes.
Yeah.
So she would only have the whole truth.
Yeah, well, I don't know. How do you explain America? I mean, I think in America, and even over here, they're just, you can't sit and tell people about the Muslim problem or the black problem or anything because you don't really have a lot of them here that have caused any problems yet.
Here in the United States?
No, I mean over in here in Northern Ireland.
People don't realize it because they didn't read it, or they think that's somewhere far away. I have nothing to do with it. But when they start seeing the effects, then they'll realize.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that will lead to, like, of course. I really wonder what's the purpose of the Jews? You know, they try to mongrelize all the people, but mongrel people are unstable. They are like savage. They are like this.
That's what the Jews want.
Yeah, it doesn't have any logic because they cannot be controlled. They won't be able to continue the civilization. They think that they can control them.
They don't want to control them. They want anarchy. They want to destroy the creation of God. That is all they care about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but with anarchy, they won't be safe either. Because it will affect them also. There will be no going to work with them, right?
What the hubris of the devil?
Well, it's just like the Jews today. They've groomed the Red Chinese Army, I believe, and to at the time when they need them, they believe they'll use them against us, against the white Christian man, European man, American man. They always try to have a back door open. They could flee Brazil, China, when things get too hot in America. But I believe they'll be using trying to use foreign troops, security forces in America. If this economy that goes down like they're saying it will, the people are going to get. Their people are going to get very violent, and I believe that they'll use foreign forces, security forces, through the United Nations and stuff.
They're still soloing, and nothing, no one will know the difference.
Mm-hmm. Like I say, you know, we're talking about the Chinese and living in America, and I believe a lot of them are already, the soldiers are already there. We're already here. We're all throughout our country.
There are many Chinese people here, many, amazingly many. And also, I went a few days ago to a neighbor, and I was stunned to see how many non-whites there were in that area. Just every kind of person you could meet there, a black, an Arab, everything. And I was like, where I am? I'm in Spain, Nigeria, South Africa, some Middle East country. It's just amazing how many there are. We really don't seem to acknowledge that.
Yeah, because the Jews don't put it in the media.
Yeah, they control the media, you know. Okay. What's his last name? Rothstein? Murray Rothstein, who owns Fox News and all that? And Viacom, he said that we can mold any opinions and the minds of Americans anytime we want. Something along that line, not exactly the quote, but in other words, anything they want the American people to believe and make them believe. I mean, it's true. Yeah, Murdoch, Rupert Murdoch, but I think it was Murray Rothstein or something. I mean, look at they build the banner for Obama and got all the stupid white goyim to vote for him, you know. And I mean, the whites were like looking at each other. Oh, look at, see, I'm not a racist. I'm voting for Obama. See how good I am, you know. I mean, it was just unbelievable the charade that they pulled over. They did a heck of a job.
Obama and his wife look like chimpanzees. They have that type. Really, I mean, when I look at the pictures, I see a chimpanzee, and his wife even more.
It's absolutely humiliating.
There's the revolution.
His wife was in a glamorous dress, and he was like, that's a chimpanzee in a dress,
yeah,
not a woman.
I mean, she preferred being in her Afro-American attire, you know, like, I'm sure he would, like, have her covered, which I don't blame him, have her face covered and everything. I'd cover her face, too, but he'd prefer that, but, of course, you know, right now, they couldn't do that. They're, you know, he being sitting as the American president, I that's another thing I just can't get over, how they got away with it.
It's been great for the White House to be a black president. Wasn't the White House supposedly named white because it was a white ruler?
I don't know about that, but
it got set on fire, and then because, like, the wood, like, bleached after it got caught on fire or something like that. I'll look it up. But it burned down once, and I think some of the wood got bleached, and I think that's why they call it the White House.
Well, it is related to the fire in 1812 that it was set on. I don't know what it looked like originally, but I heard the same story and thought it to be true.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been whitewashed ever since. I don't know.
Oh, check out my avatar, God's Chosen People.
They're really going to have to clean that place up after they were in there. I mean, I don't know if any of you guys ever been in a black person's house, but I have a few of them. And the stench is just, I mean, it's a smell, it's a sour, like a smell that gets into everything, into your soul, your couches and your... It's everything. It's a weird, high, sour smell that's disgusting.
I
don't know how these white women can go out with them. I don't know. Ugh.
I really wonder why these non-whites have that bad smell. Because, in instance, in Romania, when I went in the bus and the gypsy came, one gypsy was enough to fill the whole bus with his smell. It was unbearable. Like, oh, God.
Well, these black houses, they made tears come to your eyes. It was just, I don't know, I can't explain it. We were a lot younger then. I don't know why we were, I was over at my cousin's house. He lived in the middle of Blacktown, but in Ohio. And also, another one that smells really bad is Eskimos. They really, really smell bad.
I think the plain explanation is that they don't wash, and because when they don't wash, the smell just gets into their skin then. And no matter how hard they try, they cannot make it smell different.
Sour cream. Yeah.
Well, while that, though, I think I'm going to wrap this program up. It's almost 5 o'clock, and thanks everybody for being here. And the open house, we could always go to the open house downstairs, right? Praise Yahweh, and thank you.
Hey.
Goodbye.